When my wife and I decided to get married, I knew that it was time for Kathy, that's now my wife, to meet my father. She'd already met my mother, and my mother was a gregarious, gracious woman who could be the hallmark poster woman for Mother's Day. In other words, my mother was okay. In fact, Kathy had met my mother without me present, and I didn't feel that she needed my supervision. My father was a different story. As we drove towards my parents' house, I prepared Kathy for the worst. You know the story of my dad, I told her. He's an atheist. He's kind of wild. Sometimes in restaurants, he would make reservations for Sigmund Freud and family, or Joseph Stalin and his wife and kids, or simply the Swiss Family Robinson. I told her he will talk about death at least once, and will probably visit the cemetery, because my father has always been terrified of death, but thought if he visited the cemetery, he could look death in the eye and leave under his own power. And he might tell an off-color joke or suddenly break into song or just stay in his room. The more I described my father, the more worried I became, until by the time we arrived, I was about ready to turn around and go back to Virginia Beach and meet next Christmas. Kathy, on the other hand, was fascinated. "I can't wait to meet him," she said. "He sounds like his own man. In fact, he sounds a lot like you." I almost did turn around at that point. But Kathy put her hand on my arm and said, "Let me draw my own conclusions. We both may be surprised." Well, I was certainly surprised. My father met us at the door and ushered us in like royalty. As we made small talk with my mother, my father started rummaging around in a closet and brought out a scrapbook. "Kathy," he said, "I love this boy." And he sat in a chair next to me and put his arm around me and showed Kathy picture after picture of his amazing son. Kathy looked very surprised, but pleased. And I was astonished. My father had never told me that he loved me, at least not directly. He'd tell my mother and she'd tell me. Or he'd tell his friend Bob Dolak that he was so proud of me, and Bob would relay the compliment in Bob's sports metaphors. "Your dad's your biggest fan." "You're a first stringer in your father's eyes." "Your dad thinks you're a champ." But I always wanted to hear it directly, up close, personal. Nose to nose, like I imagine Fred McMurray would talk to one of his three sons. Yet my father was extremely generous and impulsively kind. One time when I was a junior in college, my mother called me and I told her that I was out of money. I'd spent my allowance on Beatles albums. That I would have to not have dinner that night because the cafeteria was closed on Sunday and wouldn't open until the next morning. My mother said, "You'll have to miss a meal, Tommy." I said, "Mom, I think I'll make it. I don't think I've ever missed a meal before, so just this once won't hurt." Well, I could hear my mother calling to my father, "Paul, Paul, Tommy has nothing to eat." My mother said later that a look of panic came over my father's face, and he rushed from the house. "He's on his way," she said. My father drove 80 miles on a Sunday night to buy me a hamburger and a piece of pie. After he left, I remember thinking, after I burped, well, that was nice. But he never said that he loved me. I was a critical little cuss. A little obsessive, too. Now, my wife looked back at me over the scrapbook with questioning eyes. She said to my father, I know how you feel, Paul. I love him, too. He's quite a guy. They both nodded wisely, and I squirmed in my seat. My wife said on the way home that she had met a different man than I had described, or at least a much nicer man than I had described, and that I might rethink how I thought of my father. For her, she asked the question, what is there not to like? Thus began the process of forgiveness. Notice I say process. Forgiveness is often a gradual letting go of an idea about a person, or rather a letting go of a story about a person. My story about my father was quite compelling for me. In my story, my story about my father, I had gotten the wrong dad. The Lone Ranger, Sky King, Fred McMurray, anybody but Paul Baker would have been better. He was big, clumsy, irritable, unpredictable, dedicated in his own way to fatherhood, but not personal. At 6'4", a distant figure in the sky, kind of like the God of the Old Testament. A strong presence who cared, but you never knew what was coming next. Was my story correct? It was a child's impression. A cartoon of a giant father and me, a little boy, wanted to be as close to my father as I was to my mother. As I grew into a bigger boy, I wanted my father to be like Jesus. In my story, my father had an impossible part to play, especially for who he was. Paul Baker was an orphan. He'd been abandoned by his parents at birth during the Depression and given to his father's parents to raise. In their poverty, he was just another mouth to feed. One of the worst experiences a child could have, he was a resented child. He endured his life by getting lost in books, hiding from his parents' apathy and criticism in the library. My father barely survived his childhood. He dropped out of high school. And my father barely had a life. He ended up being a country music disc jockey. They called them announcers in those days. He had a voice like velvet from Memphis. My mother fell in love with his voice on the radio. They married and they had me. The first song I learned as a child was Your Cheatin' Heart. I know it to this day. Your cheatin' heart will tell on you. Your cheatin' heart will make you blue. You'll walk the floor the whole night through. Your cheatin' heart will make you blue. Well, people are easier to forgive when you know them as people. When we're children, we know people as the roles they play, and in adulthood, we begin to know them as people, but even as people, they may still get us down. Every day when my father got home from work, he would drop his heavy briefcase with a thump and say, "Another day in hell." That was after he gave up radio and got a job as a paper salesman so he could make more of that filthy stuff called money. The person my father was depressed and angry. Finally, he was just simply hard for me to like. I wrote him letters. He never wrote back. He didn't want our Christmas gifts. The more I knew about my father, the more I concluded I didn't like him. But I still wanted to forgive him. If you've ever noticed, the people that we don't like, we think about more than the people we love. They weigh us down. They're kind of a thing we drag around to. It's like we're handcuffed to those people we don't like. I finally turned to God and declared I didn't know what to do. What I did know is that my sister and my father had grown very close. She adored him. My wife and everybody at the nursing home adored him as well. I figured that God adored him too. There was something I was not seeing and perhaps would never see. I had to declare my own ignorance about his soul, his character, and his being. My father was a mystery. He was beyond my understanding. He was a nut I couldn't crack. He was an egg I couldn't fry. He was a code I couldn't break. And suddenly, that was okay. If God did not condemn him, then neither would I. It was that simple. There's a saying from A Course in Miracles that goes like this: the holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. My father died last June. In my year of grief, I have thought often about what my wife said to me on the way home from meeting my dad, that I had not described the man she had met. Today, I think that all those years of not forgiving my father had more to do with me than with him. I was quick to point out his contradictions, but very slow to notice my own. Quick to feel unloved when I was not so loving myself. And today on Father's Day, I can honestly say that I love my father, but that I do not understand the love I have. It is beyond stories, it is beyond fantasies, and beyond dreams come true. It is the love of God, the Father of us all. Happy Father's Day. I'm sure my father thanks you. Now let's meditate. Feet on the floor, head in the skies, and allow your heart to open. Allow your mind to open. Allow yourself to surrender to a love you do not understand. To an affection that is beyond your own agenda. Allow yourself to open to God, to love itself, shining upon you always, always waiting, a knock on the door, a call in the night. Please, help me. I need you. Now in silence, in the quiet of a sure thing, wait. Wait upon the love that has always waited upon you. Now, with your heart uplifted, your soul alert, come back into the room. Come back into full consciousness. Sure now that you are loved and are ready to forgive, to release, to let go of all the burdens that you hold on to.